guys. Welcome back to the Mangalog Podcast. This is episode 40, and it's on Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba. My name is John. I'm the sole host of the podcast. And this is just a manga recommendation podcast, manga introduction podcast, whatever you want to call it, whatever I want to call it. I feel like it changes in any given day. But this episode was technically a recommendation from a Twitter user slash listener named Benny Lewis. He had actually reached out to me back in May, and I'm finally following through on his recommendation. So a shout out to you, Benny Lewis, if you're still listening. I know it took me a while, but here it is. I try to follow up on, you know, when people ask me to do things, even though it's been so long since I've been running this podcast consistently. I try to be a man of my word. this series, Demon Slayer, was written and illustrated by Gotoke, Koyoharu. The series originally ran in Weekly Shonen Jump magazine from February 2016 to May 2020. And it's published by Viz. I think there are 22 volumes currently out in Japanese. So the series actually finished its run, but the chapters are still being collected into Tankobon, and are being released. 17 of which are available in English. Actually, 18, because there should be one coming out this month, November. And then volume 19 will come out in December, so on and so forth. They're probably just doing it each month until they catch up with the Japanese releases. But you can read the entire series just in full, all the chapters, on the Shonen Jump app. I believe it's a little over 200 chapters or so. This is considered a shonen adventure dark fantasy series. I think you could probably add like supernatural in there as a genre identifier. It originally received an anime adaptation by Ufotable, an animation studio. That was in the April to September 2019 anime season. And they covered 26 episodes in that run. So that covers up to chapter 53, or the start of volume 7. And again, the Infinity Train arc is what's being adapted now by Ufotable, the movie, the film that's currently airing in Japan. And what a cool name, Infinity Train, or I think it's Mugen Train. The only reason why I know what Mugen even means is because I looked it up when I was watching Samurai Champloo a long time ago. But yeah, that's the arc that's currently being adapted, so I'm not sure what arc follows that, but I think that's where I left off in the manga. And as far as I know, it's a critically acclaimed series. A lot of hype surrounding its anime adaptation. I remember hearing so much about it when it was airing, and somehow I just didn't watch it. And I think at that point I had already started just reading more manga than watching anime. So I don't know. I somehow wasn't like swayed by the hype to go like watch it immediately. And maybe because nobody close to me was really watching it, so I didn't feel motivated to do it. But it's funny. It's one of those situations where, like, I knew who the characters were. I knew their names and everything before I'd even read the manga, because it was just that popular. Like, I knew Inosuke, Tanjiro, Zenitsu. I already knew their names, what they look like, and everything, but just from seeing just stuff or hearing stuff about it. I think at that point too, the manga sales had like skyrocketed during the adaptation or after it finished airing. And I actually heard it outsold One Piece at some point, which, like, it's hard to dethrone One Piece when it comes to monthly sales or whatever. So that's kind of insane. And apparently the movie is just repeating that. The movie's breaking records, the manga's selling, the most current volumes that are released are just selling crazy. So it goes to show how either, you know, good the source material is, or just how great of a job Ufotable is doing at just, like, I guess, really, you know, iterating nicely upon the original source material. They seem to be doing a great job. And I've seen clips from the anime, so it looks gorgeous. So I'm actually really excited to see how they adapt it. But yeah, this manga's breaking records for sure. And I think just that goes to show how strong a good anime adaptation can be, especially for like bolstering sales. That's why anime are made in the first place sometimes, or just to sell manga, and this one's doing its job. So, but this series, It takes place in Taisho era Japan, and I only know this from looking it up because I don't even think the manga ever explicitly mentions this. You have a character, he's a young boy, his name's Tanjiro. He lives in a remote mountain location. He's essentially taking care of his family after the death of his father. I can't remember how much family he had. I think maybe like two. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I think there was at least like four or five brothers and sisters. One day his family is attacked by demons, and his younger sister, Nezuko, survives, though she's turned into a demon in the process, because this is kind of like a Walking Dead situation where, like, if you're bitten or whatever by a demon, you become a demon. At least I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Or I think either that or, yeah, I think demons have the power to turn other to humans into demons. But there also is a demon leader who can do that as well. And Tanjiro essentially vows to hunt down whoever is responsible while also trying to find a way to make Nezuko human again. And she's technically a demon, so she's able to travel with him, but there's like a little bit of a caveat. She has maintained her human reasoning, so she's able to travel with him without, you know, without her being like a threat. But she has to like travel around in like this box basically to protect her from sunlight, and she has to wear like this bamboo gag. I guess to like, I don't know actually, to remove the temptation that she might bite someone. But her case is a very special case. Normally, once you turn into a demon, that's it for you. You don't usually maintain your human reasoning. But Nezuko is a special case because, I don't know, I guess if she was still a demon, there wouldn't be a plot. Or there would be, but she'd have to be, like, I don't know, chained or something. It's weird how they've handled Nezuko's character so far, because it's like she's essentially not doing much anyways. So it makes you wonder why she has to travel around with Tanjiro in the first place. I mean, there's moments where she comes in clutch, but she's kind of like a non-character a lot of times. But anyways, so he goes on this quest, meets friend and foe along the way, enters a special demon slaying force, literally called the Demon Slayer Corps, and just trains to evolve his sword practice so that he can take out stronger demons, and eventually the big bad. As you can guess with the title, there's a large focus on demons in this manga. Shonen Jump has always had stories like this, but I feel like even more recently, it's really digging into the supernatural and like series that depict like maybe more heavier or more realistic violence. Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen come to mind. And just like in those stories, demons are given intelligence and they have dialogue with the main characters. And in this case, despite the demons being the enemy, like the main antagonist in the series, the author really does love to make you empathize with the demons. So you really see that in Tanjiro, the main character. He's angry at the demons and will kill them, especially to stop them from murdering more humans. But he also takes pity on them because he knows that these people, these demons, were once humans, and he understands that they had no choice in becoming what they are. But granted, he's still going to, you know, enact justice upon them for the sins that they're committing as demons, because, you know, at the point where they're demons, granted they need to feed on humans to survive, but some demons are just so despicable, and they take pleasure in killing more humans. And I like this because it gives the enemies a little more depth, and at some points it does feel like, hey, you're just trying to make me feel sad, you know? but for the most part, I think it works. Not necessarily because I feel for the demons, but because I feel for Tanjiro, who feels for the demons. I think Tanjiro is just a fantastic main character. And when he's sad, I'm sad. When he's angry, I'm angry. And I think that's why it works, because you see that it kind of pains him to do what he's doing, but he still has to do it because he knows it has to be done. And there's a special situation with Nezuko being a demon, which probably affects Tanjiro's judgment of demons themselves. Nezuko is like a weird case. Again, she doesn't have to feed on humans. She essentially like sleeps, or like, I don't know what she does to, I think she just sleeps to replenish her stamina and stuff like that. She's like, I'll get more into her character later, what I don't really like about her character or her treatment as a character. But yeah, I'll get back into it later. So Tanjiro, I'm going to start with, back with Tanjiro. He's overall just a really, good boy. You know, he's strong, but he's not overpowered. Like in some cases, in like dire situations, he'll do something. He'll accomplish some awesome feats. But there are cases where he is out of his league and he's powerless. And somebody else has to step in to kind of assist him, or otherwise he'll die. It's not like there are shonen scenarios where the character will suddenly awaken an ability. And I think the manga actually explicitly mentions this, where Tanjiro's kind of feeling some like self doubt, or you know, he's just frustrated with himself for not being strong. And I think he mentioned, he's like, man, I wish there was just a way that I can suddenly become stronger, but there isn't. And I think that's like direct commentary on that trope where like the protagonist suddenly becomes stronger and is able to all of a sudden overcome what he's dealing with. But there's a situation like that Tanjiro runs into, and he's not able to suddenly become stronger. He kind of feels powerless. And that's where I think he, you know, so he's grounded as a character. I think so. I like the fact that he is a strong character because he's put in a lot of work, but he still has a long way to go. And also I like that he's not dumb. He's not a dumb character. He knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. And it's actually funny. And he's not like the idiot in the group who has to ask all these questions, or like, you know, he's not totally inept, or like, so he's not, he's not super strong, but he also hasn't started from the bottom. Like say Naruto, from the Naruto series, obviously, where Naruto's just, he's kind of a screw up, you know, he's kind of a little bit of a delinquent. He's not the most, intelligent either. His grades are suffering in the beginning of the series. So he's not quite that low, you know, and in terms of like, you know, compared to the other characters, Tanjiro is actually like the straight man in the group. He's the voice of reason. He's the kind and considerate one. We get the characters like Zenitsu and Inosuke later, and their behavior is just so erratic. But Tanjiro puts them in their place, which is so funny. I like how Tanjiro would just call someone out, and he'll say exactly what you're thinking as a reader. Like there were so many times where like I'll be listening to a character say something, and I'll be like, you know, that logic is really dumb. And then in the next panel, Tanjiro is literally like, that logic is dumb. Like not in those exact words, but you know what I mean? Like he says exactly, it's like when you're reading a series or watching an anime or whatever, and you want the character to behave in a certain way, like, come on, dude, just say this or just do this. And you see this like in romantic series a lot, where it's like, God, this is so stupid. This is just a simple misunderstanding. And then occasionally you're like shocked when a character actually does something that just like kind of solves that easily, where like they avoid that cliche misunderstanding, like because they actually act like a human being for once, you know. And Tanjiro does that. Like he addresses like the enemy directly. He calls them out on their bullcrap. Even his fellow demon slayer comrades, like he'll call them out on their BS as well. So like he's not afraid to like brave, but sometimes he needs to know when to keep his mouth shut, because he's in the presence of people that are stronger than him that can potentially, you know, hurt him if he doesn't control his tongue. That's another thing I love about Tanjiro. There is a scene where the Hashira, who are like, they're like the elite of the elite in the Demon Slayer Corps, they're introduced, and they're really not letting my boy Tanjiro say his piece, you know. Tanjiro is finding himself in a certain situation with Nezuko being a demon and everything, and he's trying to explain his situation, and a lot of the Hashira are not giving him the time of day, because this is ridiculous, this is unacceptable, he's traveling around with a demon. And you can see Tanjiro visibly getting angry, and I think that's the thing that the author does really well, is like depicting just like when Tanjiro gets angry, like it's just like rage. And it's so weird to see him like that. But he has every right to be angry in the situations where he is angry. And essentially, just overall, Tanjiro is just one of those characters that it's really easy to feel for him, and it's really hard to hate him. And then you have, like, Zenitsu, who's, like, if you guys know anything about the, you know, what the characters look like, he's the blonde one. he he'll potentially satisfy all negative feeling because he is so annoying. Usually when someone says a character is annoying, I'm just like, yeah, nah, that can't be that bad, right? But literally all Zenitsu does at the start of the series is just cry and scream. And I'm not even exaggerating. That's how he's introduced, and that's how he is for a while, for several chapters until, like, I don't even know when he finally, like, chills out a little bit. I think even during, there's, like, a rehabilitation arc, and Zenitsu's still acting like a fool. And then I think it's after that he sort of calms down. But it's just, like, I don't mind that he's supposed to be, like, this cowardice, you know, this really, like, cowardly character. But he's so over the top, and not to mention, for lack of a better word, he's kind of like a simp, right? I don't even like using that word. But he's not, like, a despicable, like, pervert, like, say, like, Mineta from My Hero Academia. But it's just, like, when it comes to women, he behaves even more obnoxiously. And I know at times it's supposed to be played for comedic effect, but to me, it's just not funny. And I don't understand why authors find that trope funny at all. It's just something that I've never found funny. I don't find it funny when it comes to freaking Sanji in One Piece or Mineta in My Hero Academia. I don't find it funny. I do like how other characters kind of play off of Zenitsu, though, because a lot of characters do acknowledge just, like, this dude is kind of crazy. And like, honestly, in the world that Zenitsu lives in, he has every right to be just terrified. It's just kind of over the top. Because there are plenty of situations where other characters are terrified, and they have every right to, because these demons are horrifying, and they're scared. You know, the characters are scared. There's parts where Inosuke, who's like this hot-headed, like, you know, brute, and he's really strong and capable, but then there's points where even Inosuke is trembling in fear, but he doesn't play like, he's not over the top screaming and crying, you know, just like yelling. It's just, but other people kind of acknowledge that Zenitsu, is just like kind of a whack job sometimes. And like, there's one point where like a boy character is paired with Zenitsu, just like kind of like not a main character, not really a supporting character, just like this boy character that's introduced in an arc. And Zenitsu is essentially supposed to be like protecting him, right? But it ends up that the boy is babysitting Zenitsu because Zenitsu is so freaking incapable. And this boy is much younger, and he doesn't have any sort of skill. He has no swords or nothing. And it's just hilarious because, like, the tables kind of turn, and that the dynamic is funny because Zenitsu is supposed to be the one protecting him. And then the boy is just like, it's really funny because the boy's reaction, he's like, God, he's like, I'm so screwed. I'm with this imbecile. And I also like how, again, with Tanjiro, he kind of puts Zenitsu in his place. Actually, I'm pretty sure Tanjiro literally just has to bonk Zenitsu on his head at times, like literally just punch him in the head just to knock some sense into him. It's so funny. Those parts are funny, but Zenitsu as a character, gosh, I don't know. There was a scene, and I'm not trying to spoil anything, but there was a scene where he punched a character. And if you've watched the anime or read the manga, there's a scene where Zenitsu punches someone, and I laughed so hard because I just wasn't expecting it. And the character that he hits, it's just not somebody you think you'd have the balls to punch, but he does it, and it's just so funny. I think Inosuke, the boar-headed character, he wears like this boar skin or whatever. You'll recognize him from any art if you look at Demon Slayer art. But I think Inosuke is really cool. I think it's funny how much of a brute he is. And like his gag, like he has this gag where he's like constantly mispronouncing people's names, and he does it a lot to Tanjiro. He calls him like Gunpachiro, or like, you know, just like weird, just like names that are not even close to his name. And I just like, it's a funny gag that just really doesn't get old. And also Inosuke just has this really, like, he's tough, but he just has like this sense of like confidence that just like, it's just unwavering a lot of the time. Like, he's just like, even when he's in the worst situations, like, I'm the leader here, you know. You know, he's like, don't tell me what to do. You know, like, he's that kind of person. It's kind of like he's kind of a hothead. He's similar to like a character like Bakugo, but I think Inosuke is done way better than Bakugo, because Bakugo has that hotheadedness and that like overconfidence, but Bakugo also has like this really, he has an, at it, like he treats people, he doesn't treat people nicely. So I think in this case, Inosuke's done better in terms of that like character trope, you know, that hot-headed character. he doesn't like mistreat people. I mean, he does, but I don't know. There, he's got more of a charm, basically, and he's not a jerk a lot of time. He's just, I don't know. I don't know. Inosuke just has a more charm. Deep down, he is he's a sweet person. He's just over the top. And then there's Nezuko, which, again, I'm not a fan of her character. I think she's, she has cool design. She's cute, but it's just not much is done with her. And she's essentially, and this is, kind of weird, but, she's like a pet. Tanjiro head pats her. And she doesn't speak, but she kind of does a muffled groan. She does these grunts, I don't understand the point of the gag. If she doesn't have to feed on other humans, why is she wearing the gag? She doesn't have to feed on humans. She's not, and she doesn't feel the temptation to feed on other humans. So why does she still have the gag? A lot of times she's just she's in the panels, but she's in a box because she's being shielded from the sun. So she's really not in the story a lot. And she just has no, she never gets to talk. She never gets to really do much. I mean, there's times where she does do stuff, especially during the action scenes. But, I don't know. It's just her character's just disappointing. And again, there's just a lot of time where she's out of the picture entirely. And I don't know. I just don't like how her character is being treated at the point I am in the story. Who else? The Hashira, the elite Demon Slayer people, they're really cool. They kind of come across as jerks early on. The author does start giving each of them more attention as that starts to make you like them more. They probably understood their initial introduction to the Hashira was probably, gave readers a negative viewpoint of them, but when their introduction is mistreating the main character, who is such a sweet guy, it's kind of hard to forgive them for acting the way they do. Like, they're kind of uppity, but yeah, overall, I really enjoy the story. I enjoy the characters. I think I like the story because it's kind of guiding Tanjiro along. It really does feel like an adventure. Doesn't waste a lot of time. He has a training arc that really just blazes by. And then it's just on to the next thing. Nothing really feels unnecessary. I think each experience Tanjiro has on his journey really just builds him up. Nothing feels, like filler. He learns something new. It always brings him closer to his goal. And the characters are also given time to breathe as well. There's literally, like I mentioned earlier, there's literally a rehabilitation arc where the characters kind of, things kind of die down a little bit. Things do get really tense and bloody and violent a lot of the time, but there's also these downtimes where the characters are still working hard, but they're able to kind of ease up, and there's some comedy between them, comedic relief between them. There's some introspection. The characters are really learning about themselves, about their weaknesses, about each other. And I feel like a lot of manga, especially shonen manga, are more concerned with how am I going to move this story along? What's the next big event? What's the next major villain? And I like Demon Slayer because there's a goal right off the bat. And then, and now that the manga's over, you can see that, hey, this manga wasn't stretched out for the sake of having a longer story. It's one of those rare cases where the manga actually concluded at what was arguably the peak of its popularity. So I think the integrity of the story wasn't compromised. I think it was planned to reach its natural end. So that's actually something to look forward to. I'm actually looking forward to finishing Demon Slayer. I don't know if I'll do a part two on this series or not. The spoilerific spoilerific episodes that I've done a couple of at this point. I might, but it's nice to know that, this series ends at its natural stopping point. I think the art is gorgeous. It has a really, it's one of those situations where it's just when you think that a author can't provide a unique style, how many series, how many, just the sheer volume of manga series, you would think at some point, there's no way you can draw this eye uniquely or this hairstyle uniquely, there at some point it's just going to look like every other thing, right? But I don't know, Demon Slayer has this really distinct art style where it's you can tell it apart from your Naruto, your Bleach, your Dragon Ball. It just has this, it really was able to kind of carve its own identity out of this massively, I would say crowded market of manga, right? The shonen, it just, I don't know, it stands out in a way that I think is it's just really unique looking. I don't know how to explain it. You have to look at it, the art style. I don't know if you guys have like seen those pictures online where it's like it shows a certain character drawn in the many different styles. Like let's say, okay, drawn by, you know, Tite Kubo, drawn by Oda, and you can see how the character would look if it was in that series. If they put a Demon Slayer there, I would be able to recognize it right off the bat. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the way they draw hair or eyes or what it is, but like you can tell that the style belongs to, you know, this manga. And that's like a long way of saying that it just has a really unique look to it. I'm not like an art critic, but I just think it looks really unique. I think it looks cool. Tanjiro is a really cool looking main character. Like, I mean, not many main characters you see like have, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's his hairstyle. I don't know if it's like the really distinct scar he has on his head. I do like how every character, the main character, has like a cool pattern, like a pattern specific to their clothing. Like Tanjiro has like this green and black checkered pattern to his like what he's wearing, and Zenitsu has his own pattern. Inosuke, he's just unique overall. He's wearing all these animal furs. He looks crazy, but he looks cool at the same time. Nezuko has this really cute. I think she's wearing a kimono, right? And it's like this pink, and she's got like this. I don't even know how to explain the pattern on it, to be honest, but it's unique, and I think it's really distinct. Like if you were a cosplaying, like I remember seeing these Demon Slayer masks actually, like for, you know, like for your face, like COVID mask, or like, you know, I said COVID mask. That's basically COVID. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention something. I'll mention that later. But like there was just the pattern. So like I saw these masks that were like the green and black checkered, the yellow triangular pattern to represent Zenitsu. The pink to represent Nezuko. It's like you know that you've done something good when like you can just detect a series just by a pattern that's on one of the characters' clothing. You know, like it's just they did such a good job designing these characters where like even if you see part of their outfit, you'll know what series it's from, and I think that's really cool. Anyways, yeah, that was kind of a long rant. But let's see, what else? I didn't really comment too much on the demons. I think the demons are really cool looking. They're humanoid in appearance, though some of them do look like just abominations. There's like the spider demon that looks freaky, dude. Like there's a spider demon that, you know, again, humanoid in appearance, has some cool like patterns on their clothing. It's like web looking patterns, cool like things on the skin on their face. I don't know how to explain it. And then I think the hairstyle kind of looks like spider legs wrapping around their face. But then like there's another character, I think that's like the father of that character, and he just has a freaking spider head, and it's terrifying, and he's humongous and scary, and it was disgusting. So like they do a really good job. The author does a really good job of designing the demons and making them look unique. Also, like a lot of the demons have their own like theme. And a lot of their design plays into that theme. So there's the spider demons. And later on, we get like this Infinity Train, which I don't want to talk too much about it because some people probably didn't, you know, read on that, or they're waiting on the anime adaptation, so I'm not going to spoil. But yeah, just really, really cool, really cool thematic designs for these demons. And like I said, just when I think artists can't come up with more ways to make their art distinct from other styles, I'm just proven wrong time and again. Let's see. I didn't really talk about... So Demon Slayer has this cool thing where the Demon Slayers use like these sword techniques. And I guess like if in Naruto there's chakra, and if like in Dragon Ball there's, what is it, Kai or Ki, whatever. In Demon Slayer, it's breathing. the characters use breathing techniques, and like they have like their elemental breathing techniques. So... Tanjiro has water breathing, Zenitsu has lightning breathing, Inosuke has beast breathing. So they use like these techniques, which really are just like these like abilities that allow them to move in like superhuman ways, but it's not really magic. It's just like crazy sword moves. I don't know if any of the characters physically emit any sort of like elemental magic. They're just like, it's just like Tanjiro is a sword slice, but it has this cool like visual water dragon visual to it. Like there's like a, it's like,
It's just like artistic flair. It's like a visual flair. It's not really real water that's behind him when he's doing these sword techniques. It's just something the artist like included as like a visual metaphor or whatever. I don't know. But like, that's the best way I can explain it. I don't even know if I explained it well. So like, it was very confusing because I remember seeing clips of Demon Slayer. I'm like, is he using water or is he just like swinging around his sword in like fluid water-like motions and they're just using that as like an artistic metaphor? I don't know. That's basically what it is. They don't use elemental abilities as far as I know. They just move in really like superhuman ways. But the demons do have like cool supernatural abilities too. So like there's like basically there's just like the action's really, really fun because there's just like this mix of like visual elemental visual metaphors and just like cool sword slicing. And then of course the demons with their crazy demon selves doing weird demon crap. It's just like it's fun to read. Yeah, overall, dude, overall I just really love this manga. I think it's beautiful. I just love Tanjiro as a main character. I'm starting to warm up on like Inosuke and Zenitsu again. I still have to see more of Nezuko to really have an opinion on her, because she's really just not a character. It's like a plot device. I think that's when Area Demon Slayer does kind of weak. And it's just like weird the way they treat her. Like they literally treat her like a pet. It's I don't understand why she even has to be in the story. I feel like she could be in a temple somewhere in some sort of like containment, you know, and she could have had just been a normal demon and not a demon with human reasoning, you know. But maybe, I don't know, it could have been the more cynical side of me is like, oh, this is like to sell figures. This is just to fulfill some sort of fetish or something, you know. That's kind of weird territory but it could be. I don't know. I'd like to think that the motives are more pure from the Shonen Jump editors or from the author, but who knows. You never know. It's always the good series that, you know, you learn, oh my god, the author was a terrible person. And I don't want to speak that on this creator. I hope they're decent people, but you never know. I don't even know why I dipped into that. I'm sorry, guys. My head goes dark places sometimes, just like, especially when dealing with manga and anime and just otaku culture. sometimes you got to question things. But yeah, it's just her character is kind of weird, the way they're treating her. But yeah, overall, I love this series. I love the characters. I love the art, and I have nothing but praise. I've been reading this every night right before bed. It just makes me feel at ease. I just finished the Infinity Train arc. It was beautiful. I cannot wait to see the movie. I feel like I'm just going to be full of emotion. I want to watch the anime now. I want to watch the anime. I want to watch the movie when that comes over. And I hope Ufotable, you know, adapts the series in its entirety. I hope they do a wonderful job like they are already doing. It's a good series. If you guys want to see a part two on this, hit me up. Like, hey, John, you should do a spoiler episode on this. Do a spoiler. It's available in its entirety on the Shonen Jump app. The physical releases are still coming out, but yeah, you can $2 a month, Shonen Jump. That's going to call it for this episode, guys. Next episode is going to be Yona of the Dawn. It's going to be a spoiler episode, follow-up episode. I think when I first did Yona of the Dawn, it was like, oh god, I don't remember when I did it, but I only read like the first two volumes of that. So I plan to read, I think I own up to like volume 10 or something like that. I might do up to like volume 8 and then just do, you know, a spoiler episode on that. I might retread some of the ground that I started when I first did the episode because it's just been so long. And that episode was really popular. So if the part two of the Yona of the Dawn episode is just as popular, then I'll continue doing it. I mean, freaking Promised Neverland Part 2 has more listens than the first episode, which means I should probably also plan to do a Promised Neverland Part 3 sometime. But guys, I finished Promised Neverland and I just did not like it. I was really struggling to finish that series. It really just dropped the ball at the end. It really, really dropped the ball. I don't understand. It makes me not want to revisit it. And you know, I this is the podcast, but like, if you guys really desperately want to hear a part three, just me capping off the Promised Neverland, I will do it, I suppose. But like, I'm not going to enjoy it because I would have to reread some of the stuff that I had to read, and I can't. I can't. I don't know if I can. It that series disappointed me so much. Also, on another bombshell, I've actually tested positive for COVID-19. I know I sound like I'm in high spirits right now. I'm actually doing a lot better. It started with what felt like a sinus infection, and then I had a terrible headache for several days, and then I got tested. So I started feeling symptoms like on a Saturday. I think it was this past Saturday. I called out of work Monday. I came into work Tuesday with a terrible headache. I should not have come into work. I worked my shift that day, went home Wednesday morning, still woke up feeling like crap, and I still went to work. They told me to go home and get tested. I got tested Wednesday. I got my results Friday morning, tested positive. Since then, I've been feeling better. It's Monday now. So it's been like, you know, a week. Basically over a week, a little over a week since I've started feeling bad. And I actually feel okay. I've been wearing a mask indoors. I've been sanitizing literally everything I touch. I'm just trying to keep my family safe so, you know, they don't catch it from me. They're getting tested. I don't know what their results are going to be yet until they come in. But, you know, I'm feeling okay. I've been exhibiting what are like considered mild symptoms. I don't really even have a fever. So I'm you know, I'm in pretty good shape when it comes to that because some people are dealing with this a lot worse. I just have to be careful that I don't spread this to people that might be in more danger. I have a neighbor that has really, she has asthma. She has, she already has breathing issues. I can't talk to her or anything because I don't want to potentially kill her. So, yeah, so that's the bombshell that I, you know, dropped at the end of the episode. For those of you that listen all the way to the end, there you go. But I'm doing all right. I just wanted to let you guys know that's what was going on with me. And just to be safe, please just be safe. Just wear a mask. Like, and the rules are in place for a reason. Just, you know, just be safe out there because, like, in my case, I'm doing all right. But, you know, you might have it, not realize you have it. Spread it to somebody else who really can't afford to get it. They get terribly ill. You never know. So you just got to be careful, guys. That said, have a wonderful week, and yeah, look forward to that Yona the Dawn Part 2 episode. I'm going to be going into heavy spoilers probably to episode or volume 8 or 9, not sure yet. I forgot how many volumes I own. I think I said 10, right? I think that's how much I have, but we'll see. Yeah, and that'll be the next episode, and I don't know what I have planned after that. Maybe episode on Beck. I think I mentioned that because I've been reading Beck, and I'm almost done with it. I'm like at volume like 20-something of Beck. I'm enjoying it so much. All right. Have a wonderful week. Thanks, guys.